Welcome to GenCast, a sponsored podcast series brought to you by Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News. I'm your host, John Sterling.
PD-L1, or Programmed Cell Death Ligand 1, serves as a critical cancer biomarker and a target for immunotherapy. Researchers say the targeted blockade of PD-L1 could help restore the anti-tumor response. In this GenCast, I'll be speaking with Dr. Rachel Gonzalez, Senior Scientist, Immunology at Origin Technologies. The topic will be PD-L1 and cancer diagnostics. Dr. Gonzalez has a PhD in pathology from the University of Washington in Seattle. Dr. Gonzalez, welcome. So let's start with the basics. Why is the immune system important for cancer treatment?
Today, or I should say every single day, our adaptive immune system, even our innate immune system, is patrolling our body looking for abnormal cells that have lost their ability to self-regulate, which are also called cancer cells. And what they do is they eliminate them. And early studies have shown that in patients who receive transplants, they receive also immune suppressant drugs and to prevent them from rejecting their transplant. And what we found is, or the scientists have found, is that they have a 25% increased chance of developing cancers, but not just one type of cancer, a multitude of cancers. So it's become an early indicator that our immune system plays an important role. And then for a long time, scientists believed that cancer treatment was divided into three pillars. Those were chemotherapy, surgery, radiation therapy. And today that is still the basic mode of treating cancers. But recently scientists have begun to figure out how to manipulate the immune system to fight cancer. And this has really broken open a whole new way of treatment and has become the fourth pillar of treating cancers today. The success of the immunotherapies in treating, you know, using immune checkpoint inhibitors such as CTLA-4 and PD-L1 and PD-1, and also with CAR T therapy where the patient's T cells are modified, we actually place them back in the body and they're reprogrammed and they are directed to fight the cancers. What we still face the challenge is that although we have these great immune therapies, we don't have a way of knowing how or which patients are going to respond and how well they're going to do.
Can you tell us more about PD-L1?
PD-L1 is an important immunocheckpoint target for immuno-oncology, mostly because it's had the most success. PD-L1 can interact with PD-1 receptor on T cells, and when it does, it actually inhibits the T cell activation and prevents cytokine production. We know that PD-L1's full name, as we said in the beginning, is Programmed Death Ligand 1. It's just a small protein of 40 kilodaltons and its transmembrane. PD-L1 is not expressed in normal tissues, which makes it an excellent candidate for using against cancer cells. But you do see an increased expression in cancer cells in a lot of solid tumors, such as melanoma, breast cancer, lung cancer, renal cell carcinoma, bladder cancer, and Hodgkin's lymphoma. The other thing about PD-L1 is that its expression is high in these types of tumors. And so it became a target for immunotherapy when in vitro studies were done looking at transgenic expression of PD-L1 in these types of tumor cells. And what they found was that when they overexpressed PD-L1 in these tumor cells and placed them in the presence of cytotoxic T cells, these cells were not affected by the presence of cytotoxic T cells, and they didn't die. When they knocked down the PD-L1, they were able to show that the PD-L1-PD-1 interaction, they were able to get the cytotoxic T cells to inactivate the tumor cells by killing them. So what was really exciting about this time was that early on, President Carter, or former President Carter, was treated by PD-L1, PD-1 immune therapy. and he was one of the first cases. They didn't just treat him with that. I think they also used chemotherapy and surgery or radiation therapy. But he was cured. He is still today considered cancer-free. So it's kind of exciting, but unfortunately, not all patients treated with PD-L1 get the same results.
So that leads to the next question. Why do we need more screening antibodies for PD-L1?
So currently, immunohistochemistry is used for detecting levels of PD-L1 in the tumors. And it was especially used for the first cases of where it was FDA approved for melanoma, lung cancer, and breast cancer. So we have these FDA approved PD-L1 antibodies, and they're detecting maybe 20 cases of positive PD-L1. And when they go to treat them, only 20 to 30% of these PD-L1 positive tumors are responding to treatment. And they also used in their control group PD-L1 negative tumors, and they were also responding to treatment. So it clearly indicated to scientists that, okay, we have these PD-L1 antibodies, but there must be something more to be indicating, whether they're alternative splice forms or the target isn't totally recognizing the best factor for telling whether the patient would respond to PD-L1. So a lot of scientists are now looking for good PD-L1 antibodies in addition to our company, and we have developed a number of new PD-L1 antibodies. Currently, there are a number of diagnostic antibodies approved in the market. But the problem is that when they did studies on this or they did the testing of the PD-L1 immunotherapy, they found that only 20 to 30% of the patients were responding. This is why the scientists in the immunotherapy research realized that we need additional PD-L1 antibodies for trying to figure out, are they detecting the right form of PD-L1, or maybe there are other factors that are important in this process. And that is what we don't know right now. The FDA-approved antibodies have another problem associated with that. And the problem is that they are expensive. The cost of using the FDA-approved antibodies work well when they're used with an expensive autostainer. They're not as good or as reproducible using manual staining. And this is also true with the PD-1 antibodies. We had the opportunity to work with a collaborator who was looking at the Keytruda antibody, which is to PD-1. And what he found was that the antibodies that we had developed for PD-1 work really well in inhibiting assays and also in flow cytometry, and we wanted to make those antibodies available. I think a number of other scientists are also looking for PD-1 antibodies just to improve the outcome of the treatment protocol. It is one of the reasons why we developed a number of PD-1 and PD-L1 antibodies.
Can you tell us a little more about your work on PD-L1?
Here at Aurigene, my main focus of research is on the PD-L1 expression. One of the reasons that I do this is because I evaluate a lot of antibodies. But I decided that if I was going to evaluate the PD-L1 antibodies we developed here, I should look at them in the tumors that they have been approved for to see if they're going to work as well as the FDA-approved antibodies. So I used about a dozen or more of the bladder, lung, and melanoma tissues that we have here at Aurigene because they have been annotated by the pathologist to let us know a little bit about their pathologies and also about the tissue and the origin. This is something that we are able to do because we have a huge tissue collection. And when we compared our antibodies to the FDA-approved antibodies, we found that there was a strong correlation when the tumors overexpressed their PD-L1. So whether it was the FDA-approved or our antibodies, Where we saw differences was in the new PD-L1 antibodies was that they were much better at detecting very low levels or weaker expressing tumors. This is kind of exciting because this might explain some of the tumors who are not expressing PD-L1. Maybe they're just not detecting or not as sensitive, at least with those FDA-approved antibodies. When I was observing the tissues, I also noticed that there were two types of when PD-L1 expression was positive, there were two types of expression. One was that the PD-L1 expression was dispersed through the tumors, and the other was that the PD-L1 expression was just expressed along the edge of the tumors where there were known tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes. And that was kind of interesting to observe that pattern of expression. Because this TILS, or tumor-infiltrating lymphocytes, may give us some clue to why these tumors respond to PD-L1 therapy, because the TILS control the microenvironment, which may be shutting down PD-L1 or T regulatory or activated cells.
Are you looking at the TILS?
I am in the process of looking at the TILS. I am looking because the tumor-infiltrating lymphocyte TILS are a number of different cell types. There are macrophages, dendritic cells, and other types of like B cells and T regulatory cells, natural killer cells. But when you look at these along with the H&E, you can recognize them, but you don't know if they're activated or not. With Aurigene's 80,000 antibodies, I can look at a number of markers on these TILs and say, okay, this is a macrophage, and this is the state it's in, or this is a T regulatory cell, and it's an activated form by just looking at the CD68, CD4 marker and say it's activated, or if it's not activated. So right now I'm trying to see what TILs are present and if there's a pattern that is similar for the lung, the bladder, and the melanoma, or if they have unique patterns along the edge of the tumor. So it's kind of an exciting news story that I'm investigating.
Well, Dr. Gonzalez, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us about PD-L1 and its role in cancer and as a potential target for immunotherapy. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to GenCast. For genetic engineering and biotechnology news, I'm John Sterling.